It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome on in. This is the Boston Celtics post-game show on CLNS Radio. My name is Matt Rury. And the ending of this one was drawn out a little bit, so we're about 10 minutes later than we normally would be. But the Celtics do find a way to win this game down in Miami, 105-95. And tonight, we're going to be discussing it here on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio video coverage for the Boston Celtics. And you can also find us on your radio dial if you're up in New Hampshire at ESPN New Hampshire, 912.50 in the Granite State. And they also stream live on ESPNNHradio.com. Bobby Manning, my co-host tonight. This one looked a little ugly in the second half after the Celtics jumped out to a big lead in the first half. They had a 17-point lead going into halftime. And this one turned ugly, and it just became a sloppy game for both teams in that second half. But they found a way to hang on.
Well, this Miami team's a team I used to always really fear, especially going on the road down there. It's not an imposing crowd, as you can see, but that team plays with a lot of energy. Back in the day, Dwayne Wade used to scare you so much playing there, but now it's just they're a faster team, they're a scrappier team. Goran Dragic went off tonight, 5 of 6 outside, 12 of 21 overall. It really looked like him and Whiteside were going to will them back into that game, but you got to give the Celtics credit because even though you're not versing the best team in the world, these games are always going to swing in the NBA, especially with the Celtics, it seems like. Whenever they go up 20, it's just like, oh, how bad's the collapse going to be? Hopefully it's not a fatal collapse, and it wasn't tonight, and the Heat never really got closer than 6 points. I think 6 points is the closest they got. So, you know, great job by the Celtics, especially after Isaiah Thomas got ejected there, really closing this game out. Horford had two big buckets down the stretch. It's a good win. A win's a win with how tight the East is right now.
A win is a win, and it's definitely a good win for them to get because it's a win that they were expected to get. So whenever they live up to expectations this year, I think that's a success so far because they haven't really. So once they start exceeding expectations, then you can really start talking about them being a successful team. But for now, they take that win down in Miami, and we will discuss the Isaiah Thomas ejection in a few minutes here. But I want to remind everybody that you can give us a call at 347-215-7771. And, of course, our opening segment is powered by Blue Apron, whose mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. And they achieve it by supporting a more sustainable food system. I use it. It's great. It's just a wonderful service that they put together there. The food is delivered directly to your door. It's fresh. And they have some good recipes, too. Coming up, they've got a Tuscan-style roasted pork, so you should look into that. It's very good. And right now, if you go to blueapron.com/CLNS, you will get your first three meals for free, and they'll ship it for free, too. So you can get a great home-cooked meal, learn how to cook something new. It's going to taste great. You're going to feel good eating it. And you can get it for free. So go to blueapron.com/CLNS. Again, one more time, blueapron.com/CLNS. And it's Blue Apron. They are giving you a better way to cook. And I'm a testament to that. It's true. So putting the Thomas thing aside for a second here, because this game got a little chippy. They got Whiteside for a flagrant one. Regardless of how you feel about this, the foul that Thomas gave, in my opinion, if you make a common foul, if that's the call on the floor, you don't then upgrade it two times, jump two levels to a flagrant two. So regardless of the play, you should be able to only take one step between fouls. There's three different fouls you can call: a common foul, a flagrant one, and a flagrant two. For those of you that may have missed this towards the end of the game, with about 3 minutes left, Isaiah Thomas brought the ball up in front of his face and elbowed Justice Winslow in the face, and he got a pretty good cut out of it. So I mean, definitely an offensive foul in my mind, Bobby, but to escalate it to a flagrant two, especially in that situation, I don't agree with the call by the officials.
Well, I was looking into the rules, and it's always so hard to find the distinction between what's a flagrant one and what's a flagrant two, because an excessive foul is going to look excessive, no matter what it is. So I was searching, and I guess the line between them is flagrant one's unnecessary and flagrant two's unnecessary and excessive. And looking at that play, the only thing that really looked excessive was the blood pouring out of Winslow's face. And that's the only
Seriously.
reason I can think of. That's the only reason I can think of that they went up that high on the foul, because,
Tough.
I mean,
I, when I
Thomas's
saw the
shot from
blood
the
coming out,
corner.
I'm thinking to myself, you know what? They're going to look at that and they're going to say that it's a flagrant two just based on that. I
Oh,
really
yeah.
wish they wouldn't do that. And it happened. I think you're totally right.
Justin Poulin said it well. It's the no harm, no foul thing. You really do think they go by how much damage there is at the end of the day. And maybe that is the line between the flagrant one and flagrant two, because that's how it's been called a lot in the past. If there's a big gaping hole in the guy's face, you're gone. If there's no harm, like Winslow flying through the air, that's smart toward the end of the game there. Well, minimal harm. I mean, I'm sure Smart felt a lot of harm at the end of that play, but no blood pouring on the court, so Winslow
Right.
stays in the game there. And yeah, I didn't even like Winslow getting a technical on that play. He's flying towards the basket. They had to do like a 6-8 minute review. That's why we're on the air at 8:40 now instead of 8:30.
Exactly.
Some of these calls are just so borderline and so arbitrary. It's frustrating to watch them sit there in 8 minutes and try to figure out what's going to be one, two, technical, whatever. So that did bog down the end of that game, but the
Yeah,
Celtics
you
held
know.
out two big buckets by Horford after that.
So I don't want to get rid of all our material right away, but the refs were some of these not the ref these specific referees. I'm not complaining about the officials, but just the way that the NBA runs their replay right at this point, it seems excessive to me. Talking about excessive and unnecessary and all that, I want them to get more efficient with it. I think that they need to figure out a way that they can just quickly look at it somewhere else and make a call. But the problem there is that they want the referees to still have some accountability. They want their referees to be the ones that discuss it. And that's why you often see the refs look at the tape and then discuss everything amongst themselves to decide exactly what's going to happen. I'm not sure that the league even makes suggestions from that booth in Secaucus that the referees get on with the headset. I think it's sort of just like the refs want to, they can tell them which angles they want to see, or they can discuss that. I don't even know if there are suggestions by that booth. But it seems like it's dragging things out, and that's the reason that these games are going over like this. And the NBA last year, in my opinion, had done a lot to speed up games. They weren't seeing 2 hour and 45 minute games anymore, even on national television. They had cut it down to 220, 225, something like that. And to me, that's much more enjoyable to have that extra 20 to 30 minutes to not just sit there watching commercials. So my point is that I think this year it's gotten a little worse, and I wish that they would tighten it up.
Well, you wonder what they could do with that, because you do want to get the call right at the end of the day. But in circumstances like these, what really is the right call is a big question. And when it comes to a common foul, flagrant one, flagrant two, maybe you do just go with the foul that's called, on the spot right there, because you could look at that Thomas elbow all day long and call any one of those three fouls. And I think if you ask three different people, they could all say different things. And maybe you don't need to look at that for 6 to 8 minutes to get the right call. Maybe you just say, it was a common foul right there. We're going to stick with that. Because, it's not like a safer out call. It's so arbitrary that you can look at that all day and come up with something different every time.
And it's not even like the NFL where they, I mean, well, it is like the NFL where they say the call on the field stands because there's not enough evidence, but usually the NBA would lean in that direction anyway. And I think it's tougher to make a legitimate call like that one way or the other, because there are a lot of situations in NBA games where it's the referee's opinion about intent and things like that. And they kind of get used to knowing certain players and knowing their tendencies. So I think that plays into it a little bit. Reputation has always been a factor in punishment in the NBA, whether it's in game or outside of a game. So it seems like they are trying to take steps forward, and they're just sort of moving to the side on this issue. But it's not a life changer, right? So I mean, I just it extends the games a little bit and gives you something to talk about for a few minutes afterwards. But more importantly, I want to get into some of the reasons the Celtics actually were able to sustain that run sort of by the Heat towards the end without Isaiah, because when he came into the game, he very quickly scored a couple of buckets on a break. I think he beat three or four defenders to the hoop down the court on the first play that he was brought back into the game in the fourth quarter. So I thought that was going to be it, and he was going to spark them, and they were going to go on a huge run and blow the Heat out. But his ejection made it so that other guys really had to step up and make some plays. And down the stretch, regardless of what people say about Al Horford and the energy level and his consistency, because you hear it all around here, Bobby, I know you know this, but terrestrial radio around in New England, you hear it all. And people were ripping Al Horford for this and ripping him for that. But he was key to the Celtics down the stretch of this game being able to hold on to the lead, because they basically run the offense through him when Thomas is not on the floor.
Well, that was a scary seven. I think the Heat went on a 7-0 run right after Thomas went out. Like I said, Dragic was just hitting everything he put up tonight, it seemed like. And, you know, with Thomas out, they kind of went back to the plan they went with in his absence last week with the injury. They put the ball in Smart's hands, really relied on him to just run like a traditional offense, getting the ball around to everyone. And I thought he did a fantastic job identifying Horford in the post, getting him good looks down there. There was one shot Horford hit that really put the game away, where he was just completely open with Smart setting him up. So Smart, I think you look at him as the Heat raced back into that game, as it seemed like they were doing for most of that second half. He made the big plays down the stretch that set up the victory, I thought. And he just continues to seem to get more comfortable in that traditional point guard position. And I've always believed that's where he belongs. I always believe that he's a playmaker with the ball in his hands, not off the ball. And he continues to show this season that passing might be his forte. He's a great passer, especially long-distance passes across the court. He continues to get better and better at those. The shooting, I don't know if the shooting's ever going to come with him.
Oh, it's so bad.
I think no. It's so bad. 2 of 8 tonight. And he can get to the rim, which is the frustrating part. He can really use his body, get down there to the rim. One of the two shots he hit in the game was an outstanding post-up on, I think, Dragic, where he's got the body on him, he's got the height on him, just backs him down, puts it up easy, but there never seems to be any sort of consistent shot that fits Smart's game, and the one he just continues to rely on is that spot-up three that often goes off the mark. But if he could get a little creative, I think he could find something, but he hasn't shown any sign of it. So for now, the passing's really what you look at with him. He's helping them win with his passing.
Yeah, and he needs to do that more. Pass more, shoot less, this guy. I've been so down on him this year because I'm tired of the flopping. And sure, he draws charges, and that's great. I like the way that he plays defense, but when he's egregiously flopping all over the court, I don't think it helps anybody. And I just think it's going to hurt his reputation. But he was thrust into the lineup tonight because of that ejection for Thomas. And I think you're right. He stepped up. He made some nice plays towards the end. And it was his passes that were better than his shooting. Clearly, he's not a good shooter. He's got to take better shots. And the thing that kills me most about him is, you said it, he can get to the rim pretty much on any guard in the league. There's only a handful of guards in this league that are going to stop Marcus Smart if he really wants to get to the rim. So whether it's the Celtics not running things for him to do that, or him just not taking the initiative, that's something that I'd like to see more. Because even though he's not a great free throw shooter, that is just another weapon that he can use and maybe get himself better shots in other areas. So I don't know. I think he needs to step up and play a little bit better, because the Celtics need a backup point guard, and Rozier has not been that guy this year. And even though he's shown some flashes, Smart is supposed to be the player that everybody in the organization is backing, right? Danny Ainge loves this guy. They're going to stick with him. And I haven't seen it yet this year, but if he starts to pass more and focus on that, I think he can be a real asset to the team.
Well, yeah, I completely agree with that. And it's interesting, we're watching Thomas and Dragic going at each other in this game, former teammates. The bench kind of does have a little bit of that thing that tore that Phoenix team apart going on there between Rozier and Smart. A lot of the time you'll see Rozier making plays on the ball. Smart, I don't think, has ball time enough between those two, because Rozier and Smart do get a significant number of minutes together, and they're both guys who lean on having the ball in their hands to make plays. So it's a little bit of a combo guard thing going there, and it worked really well in the preseason between those two, both of them being able to take control of the ball and make plays, but hasn't translated as well to the season. And I think that goes a little bit on both of them. I mean, Rozier has not been the same player that he was in the preseason. Streakiness with him is killing him. I mean, there's moments, he had an excellent dribble move at one point in this game where he crossed the guy up, did a little spin move and hit the fadeaway jumper. But as far as consistency goes in the scoring game or even distributing the ball, Rozier hasn't shown it this year. So you're 100% right. When it comes to making plays off that bench, and it hasn't been a productive bench unit this year, it's got to be Marcus Smart. And you wish he could do what he was able to do down the stretch with the starting unit, with the bench unit. And we talked about it a little bit after the Charlotte game last week. Maybe it's not so much Smart not being able to make the plays. Maybe it's the guys around him not hitting shots with that bench unit, because that's a problem too for them right now, is that bench unit just isn't hitting shots. But, you know, a little bit of it falls on him too.
Yeah, I've been saying it for pretty much the whole year that Jonas Jerebko has been the most consistent player off the bench for the Boston Celtics, and that is a problem. When he's the guy that's night in, night out, giving you the most effort, giving you the most production most nights, not really tonight because he got in foul trouble really easily against Hassan Whiteside in this game. But when he's the number one guy off your bench night in, night out, that's not good, because they have much better players, or much, they have players that should be much better than Jonas Jerebko based on their talent alone. But they just, the consistency, for whatever reason, this team can't really get it going. Now, you can argue that the lineup has been juggled. Obviously, Isaiah was out for a while. If you look at the Celtics' top few players, just look at the starting lineup. Four out of the five guys have missed time this year for various reasons. So, and I feel like the Celtics are still trying to get their continuity down. Brad Stevens still tinkering with lineups. And while that shouldn't be an excuse for players coming off the bench to be able to just give no effort or little effort on some nights, it does make sense that the it doesn't really look as fluid as you might expect, but the effort should still be there. And that's the thing that's frustrating sometimes about this team.
Well, in that first half, it really brought you back to last year with how well they were moving the ball and running the floor. And when you look at the box score tonight, the big reason the Celtics really did come out of this one with the win is the turnovers they forced. They forced a ton of turnovers in this game. That was the mark of the team last year. 23 turnovers on the Heat's part. That's a
so
ton
sloppy.
Of turnovers. That is a
it was
ton
just
of turnovers.
Ugly.
Yeah, especially in that first half. They were really able to extend the lead off of that. And it's something you want to see them continue to do, is work defensively and turn that defense into offense, because it's great. The Celtics have been running a nice half-court offense this year, and I said it during the game. The biggest surprise this year is that the strength of their team really has been the half-court offense, how well they pass in that, how well Horford's able to set other people up and even score himself in the half-court. But what really made this team special last year and even the year before that was how well they were able to run the court and get out and take advantage of turnovers and stops and wear the other team out. Golden State last year, wearing them out deep in the two overtimes just off how vicious the pace was. And the fact that their defense is in the bottom half of the league and their pace is in the bottom half of the league, it's been a little disappointing. But to see them get back to that in the first half and then make plays down the stretch in that second half to get stops they needed and turn those into big buckets. Isaiah Thomas, big buckets coming off the bench once he got back in the game right before he was ejected. The Celtics really stepped up every single time the game got close, and it was good to see, because this would have been a really bad loss should it have gone the other way.
Yeah, they really needed to hold on tonight, because after being up 20 and then 17 at halftime, and just showing so much promise in the first half, like you mentioned, they came out pretty flat in the third quarter. And that is something that I want to talk about in a few minutes after we take a quick break, because, spoiler, actually, no spoiler. I will be telling you about a player that I thought was absolutely horrible tonight, and I'm just getting fed up with this guy. On the other side of this break, we can get into that. Wonder who that player is going to be. And also, hopefully, we'll be taking your calls at 347-215-7771. This is the Boston Celtics post-game show on CLNS Radio. Bobby and I will be right back. Don't go anywhere, everybody.
Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference. So it's always important to know where your food comes from. I'd like to take a moment and tell you about Blue Apron. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Folks, for less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you only the best in variety, flexibility, and ease of use. The recipe cards are incredible. This month, I made pan-seared chicken and roasted fall vegetables with butter caper sauce, spicy lotus root and purple carrot stir-fry with sweet potato noodles, lemongrass roasted pork with Romanesco cauliflower and coconut rice. These entrees may sound complicated, but with Blue Apron's recipe cards, they are easy and fun and get the whole family involved. We'd love for you to try Blue Apron. Support the Celtics postgame show and the entire CLNS radio network. And guess what? It's not going to cost you anything. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/CLNS. You will love how it feels. You will love how it tastes. You will love creating incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. Again, no risk involved. Three free meals, free shipping. That's blueapron.com/CLNS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, to the Garden Report, to CSL, and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher, and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches, they start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
All righty. Here we go. We are back here on the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show. Bobby Manning and myself, Matt Rury, we're here. We're taking your calls. 347-215-7771. That is the Movement Watch's toll-free call lines at 347-215-7771. Celtics win 105-95. And the phone lines, like I said, are brought to you by Movement Watches. And if you've ever shopped for a department store watch, they're like $400 to $500. But the people over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out, and you get that savings. You, the listener, the buyer. They're slick, they're fashionable, and most importantly, they are affordable because they start at just $95. Go to movementwatches.com/CelticsBeat for 15% off your first order with free shipping. Again, we're giving you all the shipping for free. That's mvmtwatches.com/CelticsBeat. And Bobby, before the break, I told everybody that I was going to discuss a player that I thought was horrible tonight. I thought that he was the main reason that the Celtics fell into a funk in the third quarter. And he is also the reason that I am not surprised Tyler Zeller started the fourth quarter for the Boston Celtics. He is Kelly Olynyk, and boy, oh boy, was he a hot mess tonight. Trying to go coast to coast after a rebound, taking horrible shots. He missed multiple free throws after he was given a flagrant foul, given a chance to shoot free throws after a flagrant foul when he took an elbow from Hassan Whiteside, which I think the refs missed that one too on the side. But the thing here is Kelly Olynyk was so bad tonight. And in the past, I've said that they should give him a chance and get him in there maybe a little bit over Amir Johnson because Amir has had a kind of a rough year. But at this point, I'm starting to just lose all sorts of faith in Kelly Olynyk. And tonight, he just looked lost out there, which I have not said in a while.
It's a very good point because you talk about him trying to take it coast to coast and get to the bucket. He wasn't shooting on the perimeter tonight. He was trying to get inside, and it did not go well for him. And not much has gone well for him at all this year. I mean, he plays decent system defense. Normally, you expect him to hit the three at a high rate. He's down near 30% this year rather than 40% where he was a year ago. He's not great at getting to the basket. Like you said, he's so slow that he rarely gets there when he drives to the basket. And this is his contract year, mind you. This is where he's really – everyone's trying to get paid. A guy like Kelly Olynyk in today's NBA where he can handle the ball and shoot should be due for a big payday this offseason. But he hasn't been able to get it together all year long. And the Celtics bench has paid the price for it because he's a guy they lean on for the scoring with that unit. He's a guy you got to be able to find and expect to hit a shot on the dime. And what frustrates me more than anything is the supposed great shooter can't hit wide open threes time and time again this year. We didn't see it tonight because he only had 5 attempts total. But time and time again this season, he is spotted up with no one in his area whatsoever, and he completely bricks it.
Oh, or airballs it like he did tonight. Woo! But was that a bad shot he took? I don't know what the deal is. Is this some karma coming back to him for taking out Kevin Love and then getting hurt himself, and now he just can't come back from the injury? Is he still hurt a little bit? Because I was under the impression that they didn't bring him back until he was 100%. So maybe he's just trying to get his NBA legs back. Is it his game legs? We're getting to the point where he's had plenty of time to get back into the rotation and get back into a groove. And you said it, he's not shooting nearly as well as he did last year. So now I'm starting to think last year was a fluke and he's going to revert back to the Kelly Olynyk that we saw the first couple of years of him in the league. And it's just a shame because he showed so much promise last year. And I thought that he was getting ready to take another big step. He showed some good things with Team Canada in the off season. And it's been very disappointing for Kelly Olynyk through the first 6 weeks of this season. I hope he can turn it around, but I'm wondering if it's the mentality type of thing. You mentioned he's trying to get into the paint tonight and drive on Miami. He's not the type of guy that can go up against the white sides of the NBA and score. He needs to know that.
And you like to see a guy switch it up and try to get to the basket a little bit, but like you said, this isn't the kind of game where you're going to be able to find shots around the paint with Whiteside standing in there. And it stinks. Even you talk about all the reasons it stinks that Olynyk's underperforming. The biggest one among them is when you look at the power forward position on this team, That's been the biggest hole for them. Johnson, you expected him to fall back a little bit off of where he was last year. He's dropped off even more than I could have expected. Jarepko, give him a lot of credit for how well he moves. He had a couple nice plays tonight, but streaky shooting on his part, too, is something that plagues his game. And then Tyler Zeller, not really expecting much from him. So you look at the power forwards on this team. Olynyk has to be that guy who's going to step up as far as his talent goes, where he's at in his career, establish himself as that power forward, the power forward on this team who's better than all the other ones and makes an impact at that position. You don't even know if he's better than Jonas Jarepko right now, the way he's playing. I mean, Jarepko was out there 23 minutes tonight. Olynyk only got 12. And it doesn't look like anything's changing. It's just been the same old Olynyk night after night, and it's crushing them. And he's not the only one underperforming on the bench. I mean, Gerald Green, I expected a lot from him this year, and he's not even out there playing. So we kind of
don't get me started on Gerald Green. A couple weeks ago, I decided Gerald Green was going to be the guy that I just ranted about every show because Danny Ainge promoted or he pumped his tires up in the offseason and said that he was going to bring this big scoring punch off the bench for the Celtics, blah, blah, blah. And really, it was just Ainge trying to reach a floor for the salary or just get somebody in there, get another body in there just in case. And Gerald Green really hasn't done anything. So I don't know whether that's on the coaching staff or that's on Green maybe not asserting himself enough in practice, or he's just not better than the players that they roll out there, which I find hard to believe because Jonas Jarepko, God bless his soul, is getting 20 plus minutes a game for this team. That to me is just, that shows a weakness on the bench. And when guys like Kelly Olynyk aren't scoring because he is trying to do too much and he's forcing things, and it doesn't help the bench at all. And it just makes everybody else's job tougher. So that's why Tyler Zeller even had time tonight, because Olynyk played like crap in the third quarter and the coach had to take him out to start the fourth. So hopefully Mr. Olynyk can figure it out and he can start getting some scoring off the bench for this team because they badly need it.
Oh, they need it terribly. And throwing it back to the offseason, we talked a lot about the depth of this team, how many guys they could bring off their bench. They're bringing a lot of people off their bench, and all these guys aren't doing very much. And the money they invested in Jarepko, picking up his contract, picking up Johnson's contract again, giving Green $2.5 million, which isn't anything in the league today. But, you know, there's a lot of guys who aren't producing off this bench.
Yeah, it's the $2.5 million is a contract, so the money is there, it's like I said, Ainge is just trying to reach a floor or something like that. So either way, I don't understand why a guy like that would. My problem is not as much with the contract itself as it is with the way he was presented to Celtics fans before the season. Danny Ainge rolled him out like he was going to be a scoring punch off the bench. And like I said, he hasn't done anything. He's been terrible. And he hasn't even been able to show whether he can play or not anymore because the coach won't even put him in the game. But either way, that's my little rant on Gerald Green for the night. I promised people that I would do it every game going forward until I thought that he was better, I suppose. So that's it, and I don't want to get into that. Let's turn things around here, though, Bobby. I want to talk about something positive tonight because we have been a little negative on the show, especially since that first break. I want to talk about a stat that I saw on the TV broadcast about how Avery Bradley is something like one of the top two or three players in the league in shooting percentage, field goal percentage, on the road. And it sounded like a strange stat to me, but I think it plays more to Avery Bradley's consistency this year and just the progression that he's shown. And this is another one of my crusades this season as a post-game show host, is to clear the air and make sure everybody hears that I'm eating crow on what I said a couple years ago when I thought Avery Bradley was going to plateau and that he had reached his highest potential. It's very clear that this guy has taken strides forward in the offseason, and he's worked very hard, and he's working hard night in, night out. So I'm just yet again impressed with the things that he does for this team. He crashes the boards better than pretty much anybody on the team right now, and could flip because he's such a small guy. It should flip because you want to see Al Horford getting in there and getting some rebounds, but Avery Bradley boxes out better than anybody night in, night out. So I just want to give him some credit here because he definitely deserves it this year. And he scored 20 points again tonight on some great shooting, 9 of 17 shooting. He took the right shots and good shots at the right time. And I think that he, again, is kind of flying under the radar. And if Mike Munger were with us on the show this year, I'm sure he'd be preaching about Avery Bradley. So I just wanted to give him a little bit of time there.
Well, he switched from a guy that a lot of people last year probably said would be the first one they'd include in a big deal to shake up the team to a guy that they might even consider giving that big contract and investing in long term because he's such a great example to everyone else. A lot of people in the NBA settle on what they're good at, work on that, and forget about the other attributes of the game that they could be adding to their game. You would have never in a million years expected Bradley to become a good rebounder, and no one would have cared because he's not the guy who fits the model of a good rebounder. No one expects this guy to go out and get 5 to 7 rebounds a night, but the fact that he did go out this offseason and really work on adding that to his game has been a massive boost to the team, and I'm willing to bet that it's added wins to the team's record, how good of a rebounder he's been. Because that's an area of need.
He needed
a guy to step up on the boards.
He got a key offensive rebound and put back late in the game tonight. It was a big play down the stretch. They really needed it, and he was there to make that play. It was a perfect box out, grabbed the rebound up and under, and he got the layup. Now, here's a hypothetical. Let's play a little game. Hypothetically for you here, Bobby, let's talk about max contracts. Obviously, Al Horford has one right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of players on this team that are going to be up in the next year or two that are going to need to get a new contract, Bradley being one of them, Isaiah Thomas being another. And to me, those three guys as max contracts are not going to win you an NBA championship. You need something more. So assuming Al Horford is one of those guys because they just signed him, is it Bradley and a better player or is it Thomas and a better player? Which one of these guys would you prefer to give a max contract to, assuming that you're going to get another all-star to fill the other guy's sort of role as a scorer on the team? Because I'm starting to lean towards Avery Bradley the way he's been playing this year, and I didn't think that I would ever say something like that, just because Isaiah Thomas is such a pure scorer and he can close games and things like that, but Avery Bradley has really shown an all-around game, and he's much improved. So even just over the last few weeks, I'm starting to buy into the notion of Avery Bradley as a max contract guy.
It makes a lot of sense because he's been playing really well and continuing to improve on a deal that you would say at this point is probably below what he's worth. Isaiah Thomas is going to be going on 30 years old within the next few seasons. And Marcus Smart, he's going to be coming up too. I think you really look at the three guards on this team as where they're going to have to make a tough decision. And when it comes to this season, Bradley's consistency has really rocketed him up to the top of those three guys, in my opinion. And the reason I think you put Isaiah Thomas a little bit behind Bradley is first, the age, and second, his size combined with the way he plays. It's so conducive to injuries. It's so conducive to him wearing and tearing as his age continues to go up. And Bradley, at 26 years old, well-built, continuing to add aspects to his game, I think he's a guy you could really make the centerpiece of this team and count on him being a consistent presence night in and night out. That's not to say he's going to be the first option on the team because I still don't love him as a ball handler. He's a nice complimentary ball handler, but not a primary ball handler.
Yeah,
so
I wouldn't
find a way to keep that.
Sure. If they can find a top-tier point guard or even another small forward or something that can play sort of a point forward position alongside Bradley, then that would be ideal. But I'm not buying into the three of these guys as your big three and being a championship contender. At least it doesn't look like it so far this season. And to me, Bradley is the more valuable player because he is a lockdown defender. He is still improving on his shot, and he rebounds extremely well. He seems to be doing everything this year, and that's the guy I would hitch my wagon to if I had a gun to my head tonight. Ask me again in a week or two, maybe I'll be back on the Thomas bandwagon, but I feel like I'm just going to be floating in the wind here. Whichever way the wind blows that week, that's the way I'm going to be going, because these guys keep going back and forth on me. And I love the way Bradley's been playing this year. And he seems to be the more important player overall for the Boston Celtics.
Shoot, I think there's a very good case to invest in this guy, especially with how rock solid he is at both ends of the court and the fact that he continues to add aspects to his game. He's still relatively young. I still think there's not too much of a growth that he's capable of at this point, but every single year he continues to improve. There hasn't been a year over the last 3 or 4 seasons where he hasn't stepped up at some significant level. So I love the idea of signing Bradley long term, and he's got a great attitude. He's the most tenured player on the team at this point, so he's begun to take on that veteran role. He's a very good personality from what you can see, at least. So I really like the idea of investing in him. And what's good, too, from a contract perspective, is that Crowder's on such a good deal now, too, and they don't have to worry about him going forward, because he's a guy who kind of gets lost in the conversation a little bit, but he's been very solid this year. I talked about it earlier. What do you make of Crowder's season so far? He missed a little bit of time early. He had to bounce back and get back in the shooting rhythm, but he's been shooting a very good clip. Tonight he had a lot of really nice shots with open space when they found him. He was able to hit. Defensively, I don't think he's where he was last year yet, but, I mean, Jay Crowder is still showing that he's a very solid part of this team, especially when a lot of other guys are underperforming in the shooting game. He's looking like one of the best shooters on the team.
Well, Bobby, you know what? I'm going to tease that one for after the break as well, because during our Avery Bradley discussion, the board just lit up. We are going to take our final network break of the night, and I'm going to see who it is on the Movement Watch's toll-free call lines at 347-215-7771. Press 1 over there if you want to get on the air with us, and we'll be doing that and talking about some Jay Crowder after this.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweeted mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
This is Jared Weiss of the Guard Report Live postgame show, and let's talk about Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million. But now, with our promo code GUARDED, their $800 custom suits will cost you just $389. That is over 50% off a made-to-measure suit. So visit their showroom on Newbury Street in the Back Bay to get fitted today for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as we do on the Garden Report. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an incredible experience. They are filled to the cuff with fabric selections, with pretty much any pattern and color combination that you can think of for a suit. You pick your lining, you pick your lapel, your monogram, and more. They even have custom shirts, too, so you can get the exact collar that you want. I'm getting a shirt with a cutaway collar, which is something that I have a lot of trouble finding, so I'm excited about that. The measurement process is actually pretty fun. Your style guide just makes it an easy experience. You show up to the store, you kick back, relax, and you just get ready to step into a perfectly fitting suit in just 4 weeks. So go to Indochino.com to book your appointment at their Boston showroom, and you can get any premium suit for just $389 when you mention the code GARDEN. You're just not going to beat that deal anywhere. You cannot get a made-to-measure suit of quality construction and fabric even near that price anywhere. And to have it this accessible and easy and fun, you just can't beat it.
All right, welcome back in to the Boston Celtics post-game show here on CLNS Radio. Again, we are the leading online provider of audio-video coverage for the Boston Celtics, and you can stream us live on clnsradio.com. And, of course, don't forget ESPN New Hampshire, 912:50 a.m. The Celtics win tonight, 105-95, down in South Beach. Hopefully they don't party too hard down there. And you know what, Bobby? I thought that the callers were light because possibly people were celebrating the Patriots win instead of calling us. But you know what? I was wrong because the board did light up during that last segment. So we are going to go to the Movement Watch's toll-free call lines at 347-215-7771. And Bobby, believe it or not, right off the bat, it was not the Avery Bradley talk that set the callers off. Our one and only, our good friend Ty Ray, is disagreeing with you about Jay Crowder a little bit. Ty,
yeah.
Let him have it.
Here we go. Let's hear it.
hey, Bobby. Hey, Matt. Great to be on with you guys. So Calvin and I the other night after the San Antonio game were hosting the post-game show, and we were talking about how the Celtics are settling for threes and not working the ball and really don't have any slashers or cutters to the hoop. And that's why I'm going to disagree with you guys to a certain extent on Crowder. Yeah, I like the fact that he can shoot from the perimeter, but I think more than anything missing from Crowder this year is his quickness. And I can't remember how many times last year I saw him take the ball, cut to the hoop, lay it up, get fouled, and get it in one. And we haven't seen a whole lot of that this year, and I think partially – that's got to be due to his injury still, but he just looks a step slow to me, and he is the one guy for the Celtics I could count on putting the ball on the floor and being able to take it to the hoop. So I prefer that Jay not settle for the three-point shot and get to the key and drive, but something tells me there's just something not quite right with him yet. I don't think he's perfectly healthy. That's just an eye test. So Jay to me is part of the problem in the Celtics settling for all the threes and not working the ball. But that's just a gripe of mine. So I kind of disagree with you, Bobby. I like Jay's ability to shoot from the outside. But like I said, he's one of the players, that's athletic enough to take the ball to the hoop. And we haven't seen that nearly enough.
It's a very good point. They do need more guys getting to the basket because in this system you need shooters and you need guys getting to the rim. In between you can kind of forget about, it seems like a lot of teams do in the NBA nowadays, but you need guys getting to the basket as much as you need guys shooting out there on the perimeter. And I think you might be on to something with the injury there. Two ankle injuries in the span of a year is a tough thing probably on your quickness. But when I look at the style they're playing, I think they're really depending on Crowder to be a spot-up shooter out there on the perimeter. I think Bradley has taken more of the in-between and even getting to the rim duties that Crowder took in the past, and they're leaning on Crowder more so to be a spot-up shooter out there on the perimeter, because the team as a whole is taking a lot more three-pointers than they have in the past. And I think when you look across the roster, he's as reliable as it gets out there on a consistent basis. 3 of 6 tonight, very solid clip.
I don't know, Bobby. I don't know if he's that reliable from the three-point line. I'm still not a fan of Jay Crowder's shot. I've never really been a fan of Jay Crowder's shot. But Ty, yeah, I think you did hit it, because he always comes back from injury too soon, and that's my big gripe with him, is that he's always coming back onto the floor, and he admits it. He says he's not 100%. He says he's 70%, but he wants to play. And I would just say to him, you are so much more effective when you're 100% or closer to it. Just get ready, be right, and then come back and be a better player.
Yeah, he just seems to me a step slow, guys. I don't question his heart, and I still think he's effective right now, but he seems a step slow. And I just had one other question. I'll let you guys go on to other callers. Calvin and I need to bring up Calvin again, but we were having a discussion about Terry Rozier the other night, and I said I'd like to see Rozier get more minutes than Marcus Smart, because, guys, it's for a different show. You guys have talked about it enough. I'm done with Marcus Smart. I am. But getting back to my original question, I saw Isaiah and Terry Rozier on the floor together tonight, playing significant minutes together. And it was interesting because Calvin the other night and I were having a discussion on whether or not that would be a liability. I thought they played well together at times tonight on the floor together.
You know what, Ty? You can bring up Calvin anytime you want when I'm the host around here, because he's my co-host on Careless Whispers. So you know what? That's just a shameless plug
that
I will take. I will take it every single time. Thank you, sir, for serving up that meatball to me. I do appreciate it. We're on usually at 9 p.m. Tuesday nights around here, guys.
There you go. Shameless plug.
There we go. You know what, Ty? I feel like it's on paper that does sound like a situation that the Celtics would be in trouble for, but it's possible that Rozier's athleticism makes up for some of the lack of defense on the other end of that combination.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I guess I really think Rozier's potential is much more unlimited than Marcus Smart. As I said the other night on the show, at this point, after what we're in year three, we know who Marcus Smart is. I just don't see him getting any better. And I know we are starting to talk about this every show, aren't we? It seems like every post-game show. When I listen, I've been on three, and I don't think Marcus Smart is a bad player by any means. I just think he has a ceiling, and we're seeing it. I'm looking at his stat line. What was tonight, like 5-5-4? Right? Was it like 5-5-4 or something, like 5 points, rebounds?
6-6-4, a few turnovers. He didn't shoot very well. And, I mean, luckily he only took one three-pointer. I think he took a couple of decent shots. He had a tough shot at the rim that didn't go in as well. So a rough night for Marcus Smart shooting, but he did do some other things. And going forward, I just want more consistency out of the guy. I wish that he was a smarter player, no pun intended, seriously.
I wish that he was
a more intelligent player on the floor at times, because his tenacity is pretty much unmatched, definitely for a guy his size. And I think that he can be effective in many ways, but he just – sometimes he loses his head out there, Ty. And hopefully that will come with time, you know?
And Matt, like you, well, I mean, God, we're in year three. And Matt, like you, I think Rozier's athleticism overcomes, his lack of size. I like his game a lot, Rozier's game a lot. And I don't think it's going to get any better if he doesn't get minutes. I want to see Jalen get minutes. As I said the other night on the post-game show, I don't care if this team is a 3 or 6 seed. It doesn't matter to me. They're not as good as Cleveland or Toronto. So let's play these guys.
Right, but Brad Stevens wants to get wins now. He's looking at it that way, I think, and he has to balance that, and that's a tough thing for him, because you would think that playing your more veteran players like Jonas Drevko might give you a better chance at winning a game today, but as fans, we look at it and say, well, we want you to win in a year, in 2 years. We want you to develop these players that we think are going to be good, and he's not exactly doing that, so We'll have to wait and see on that one, and hopefully it'll turn out great for the Celtics rookies, and they can find a way to get into a groove here, and we'll have some good things to talk about going forward on the postgame show. Ty Ray, thank you so much for calling in, man.
Always fun, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, there he goes. Ty Ray on the Movement Watch's toll-free call lines, 347-215-7771. So we go from talking badly about Marcus Smart, I guess, Bobby, to a man that has called us before and is a proponent of Marcus Smart. I'm not sure if that's what's on his mind tonight. But next up on the call lines is Isaiah from New Jersey. What's going on, man? How you doing tonight?
What's going on, guys? How's everything tonight? Great to talk to you after the Celtics win.
We love it when the Celtics win.
Yeah, we do. We do. Although, you know, after the Celtics win, come on, you guys got to do a little bit of talking about what we did right tonight. You know,
of course,
I understand I understand it's a lot easier to, you know, go about talking about the negative stuff because we all want to see them get better and progress and become a championship team. So I understand. But what got me to call tonight was you guys talking about long-term contracts and Isaiah Thomas over Avery Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
And for my part, I think as it goes back to what I was saying the last conversation we had, I would much rather pay Avery Bradley than I would Isaiah. And I don't even think that we would have to pay Avery Bradley the full max. I mean, I think we could save some money with Avery and then go ahead and do something else with Isaiah, especially since he's averaging, 26, 27 points a game? I've always been a proponent of getting the most we can for Isaiah, not because he's not a good player, or not because he's not a great player. He's an all-star. I love what he brings to the team. But I feel that the longer we go with Isaiah, the more the identity of the team is going to go with him. I think we have a lot of great parts on the team. We're overloaded at point guard, and I believe that we should trade from strength. And if we did trade Marcus Smart, like a lot of your co-hosts or a lot of hosts on the station think, I think if we did trade Marcus, we wouldn't nearly get back the value we would as trading somebody like Isaiah. I think that why couldn't we do something like trade Isaiah for somebody like Paul George? Why can't we do a swap? Because Isaiah is manageable as far as money is concerned. He's signed for the next year. It's hard for Indiana to replace somebody like Paul George if they were to get rid of him. They're not going to get anyone back of the caliber of Isaiah. Why can't we take Isaiah and Jay Crowder, send them to Indiana, and then bring back Paul George, throw in some extra pieces to make it all work, throw in that Brooklyn pick next year in order to make it all work. And then we have a team that's really going to line up. Then Marcus just mauls opposing point guards, and you're not looking, because everyone rails on Marcus for how many points he scores, but that's not the beauty of Marcus. If you're looking for Marcus to score points and take up and actually fill up the scores, that's a problem. I don't want Marcus to do that. I want him to play defense, a small opposing point guard, make the great play, make the great pass. The difference between him and Terry Rozier is Terry Rozier can score and it looks great, but he can't run an offense yet. He still doesn't know how to be the point guard of a team. Marcus does.
Yeah, he needs
right
to learn that stuff. Bobby,
yeah,
I like the way this man thinks. What do you say? What do you say about this trade proposition? I love it.
It's something we have to talk about because at some point one of these guards is going to have to go. And I think if we're going to talk about Thomas versus Smart and say that Bradley's staying, I think if you're going to move Thomas, it's got to be this year because next year he's an expiring contract and he's not as valuable. But the thing is, if you're moving Thomas this year, you're giving up on this season because I think Thomas is still the key to competing this season.
Well, not if you're getting somebody the caliber of Paul George back. That's the idea that Isaiah's throwing out there. I think if you do get a player of that caliber in return for Isaiah Thomas and a couple other guys, then even if you're making your chances worse this year, you weren't going to do anything anyway. So you make that deal.
And not only we would hold on to the pick we have from this year from Brooklyn too. So it'd be nice to get an upgrade. We solved the problem with Crowder as far as Jaylen Brown. You let Jaylen Brown develop a little bit more because Paul George is going to play a lot more minutes than Jay Crowder is because you're going to be riding him. You'll replace that punch that you're losing with Isaiah scoring wise with Paul George's scoring potential. A lot of people judged Marcus, like I said, when Isaiah wasn't there, based on how the team was scoring. We were competitive in every game, but we didn't have a 27-point-a-night guy there. If I could replace that 27 from Isaiah with a guy like Paul George and the way the team was playing before, and then you go ahead and match the contracts up, and something that would, like I said, Indiana can't get superstars to go there free agent-wise, so they're going to have to trade for them. Why not trade for Isaiah? Sign him up, lock him up, throw the Brinks truck at him because you can. Go ahead and make it work with Miles Turner, and you got Jay Crowder signed for, what, 3 more years, 4 more years at a reasonable contract? And then you're throwing that Brooklyn pick for next year. Why not make it work?
I like it, Isaiah. I like the way you think, man. You got to give Danny Ainge a call. Hopefully he listens to us. You never know who's listening or who throws something up the chain over there. I like the way you think. If he hasn't made the call already, he definitely should make that call because Paul George is a stud player in the NBA, and he would definitely make this team better, even if you are trading away a guy like Isaiah Thomas and a great glue guy like Jay Crowder. Paul George is on another level from most of these players. Isaiah, thank you so much for calling in, man. We appreciate it every single time.
Hey, no problem, guys. Hey, I'd love to hear what you guys think off the air, and go Celtics.
All right. There he goes. Isaiah from New Jersey. Bobby, usually he's popping or pumping up Marcus Smart's tires. Tonight he's giving good ideas about Celtics trades. Good stuff from him tonight.
Hey. Beneath the radar, though, that situation he explained out conveniently bumps Marcus Smart right up to that starting point guard spot. So there was a little bit of Smart pumping up in there.
Very true, very true. He still had a hidden agenda there, I think. We're gonna end the show the proper way tonight, by sort of taking the reins off of Nick Sesento. You haven't heard from him tonight. And there are reasons for that. We're not going to tell you what those reasons are because they don't matter. What matters is he's going to get anything off his chest right now at the end of the show. We're going to finish it with a bang and then say goodnight. Sesento, did any of the last couple of minutes with these calls and the talk of trading for Paul George and all this, have you been set off at all? Are you feeling good tonight? What's up, man?
Oh, yeah. I was one of those callers that was out watching the Patriots and celebrating the Patriots win over the Denver Broncos. So I did not know that I was supposed to be working today, but I always enjoyed getting the text from my boss telling me that I was supposed to be working when I didn't know. But that's okay. I always enjoy Isaiah's calls. I was working the phone lines when Isaiah made his first phone call into the show, and I know that he's a huge Marcus Smart fan. Aside from the fact that I don't think that Marcus Smart is ready for the prime time to be running this offense, this trade idea, Isaiah Thomas for Paul George, just doesn't work in terms of salaries. Isaiah Thomas is making $6.5 million for this year and next year. Paul George is making $18 million for this year and next year. So who else are we going to throw into the mix to make the salaries match? Because unlike 2K17 or whatever it is, where people just throw, you know, players together and say, oh, I like, you know, this works, I'm just going to trade, you know, value for value. I mean, you think, sure, Isaiah Thomas is a similar value in terms of point production and, you know, value to the team as Paul George, but the salaries are completely, Paul George literally makes almost 3 times what Isaiah Thomas makes. So who else are you going to throw into that trade to balance out the salaries?
I'm not sure how it would work or if you'd even be able to pull it off, but the Celtics could potentially do some sort of a sign and trade, extend Isaiah and send him off to Indiana. But otherwise, you're right. The salaries don't necessarily match up because you're looking at 6 for Isaiah and another 6 for Crowder, and so that's 12, and you still got to get to 20. So you're throwing in a couple other players. It's got to be maybe a Kelly Olynyk and a Jaylen Brown because he's a young guy. He's going to be making $5 million next year. So, but you're right. It's not just those couple of guys that Isaiah mentioned. You're going to have to throw in four plus. And at that point, you're still – I would still do that because you're looking at Paul George as a top-tier type of all-star player, and I think that you can find a way to fill the rest of the roster depending on who you keep, because there is a handful of players that you could throw in there. If you re-sign Jonas Jerebko, he's a guy you toss in, who knows, but you could definitely mix and match a few different players on the Celtics roster if Indiana wanted to make that happen.
The question is, does Indiana want to make that happen after they made a move this offseason for Jeff Teague? You know what I'm saying?
Jump in, Bobby.
Jeff Teague.
I don't think the trade makes any sense from the perspective of, first, why does Indiana want to give up Paul George at this point? And if you say, you know, they're not going anywhere with Paul George right now, what is Isaiah Thomas? Where does Isaiah Thomas bring them as their centerpiece?
Right.
I mean, you look at the Celtics right now, they can't compete in the East with Isaiah Thomas as their centerpiece. I think Indiana is even less likely to compete with Isaiah as their centerpiece than Paul George. So I don't really see that adding up. And if Paul George was available, I think we'd already hear about Danny Ainge being all over it, because that's the kind of guy he's looking
for.
So at the moment, I don't think George is available. We'll see going into the future. But now, I don't think it's the case.
Yeah, it's one of those straw man trades that people like to throw out there and see if it sticks. Nick, you hit it too. They have Jeff Teague.
Absolutely. And before I let you guys go, because I know you guys are trying to get off the air because it's getting a little bit late, I just wrote an article about, you know, the Celtics' big man needs. And I know we've talked over the years about Greg Monroe. The Bucks are desperately and have been desperately trying to dunk Greg Monroe, who's been sitting on the bench. But
Moose,
if you look at his stats, and I go through the stats in the article, he, although he's only getting 19 minutes off the bench, he's averaging career highs in per 36-minute rebounds, in per 36-minute assists, and per 36-minute steals. Greg Monroe would be if anyone was excited or even partially, you know what I'm saying, into the idea of getting Andrew Bogut as, you know what I'm saying, the partial band-aid or the temporary band-aid, why would they not like Greg Monroe, who is far better offensively and who gives you just as many rebounds in terms of, you know, per 36 production? It's only the fact that he's sitting on the bench that he's not there. And the thing is, people say, well, he makes $17 million a year, but his next year's salary is a player option. And if he didn't work out this year for the Celtics, if we traded for him and he didn't work out, Danny could just easily sit him down and say, listen, we're not going to play you next year. You might want to opt out of that, you know, that your contract for next year, not opt in, not take that player option. Still have that flexibility. There's not that many players out there. I mean, we can sit here and talk about, you know, Boogie Cousins all day. And I think, you know, a lot of players would love to have him, despite the fact that he tries to beat up and curse out, you know, 80-year-old reporters for the Sacramento Bee. And, you know, everybody would love to have Anthony Davis, and everybody would love to have whoever. But, I mean, there are players that teams are literally willing to trade for almost nothing. There are guys like Andrew Bogut, who are, I don't know, close to 40 years old or something like that, and can't stay on the court. And then there's guys like Greg Monroe, who may not be the best big man out there, but who haven't missed. I think Greg Monroe has the fewest games that he's missed in a season, or the most games that he's missed in a season is 13 games. I think he played 69 games a couple of seasons ago. He's never been seriously injured in the league, knock on wood. And if you look at his per 36 minutes, because he's on the bench now, you can't really judge, you know, what his total contributions are. He's averaging 12.5 rebounds per 36 minutes. 4+ assists per 36 minutes, 2.5 steals per 36 minutes. He's not as bad as people think, and he would complement the style of play that Al Horford plays very well. Al Horford likes to play outside. He's taking 4 three-point shots a game. I don't know how many did Al Horford take. He took 4 three-point shots a game tonight, and he missed all 4 of them, by the way. But he would complement perfectly the style that Al Horford wants to play, which is stretch 4. He doesn't want to play 5, Al Horford. You could put Greg Monroe in there, and he could instantly upgrade the rebounding. He may not be the long-term solution, but he would be there. But I'm not going to give away everything that I wrote about. Hopefully, Larry H. and Nick Jelso can get that published by tomorrow on the CLNS website, so look out for that. I did spend some time researching it and looking, you know, at the options, the big man options for the Celtics, you know, going forward. So look out for my article, Nick Jacinto. Should the Celtics reconsider Greg Monroe? And just one more thing real quick. Marcus Smart, less Marcus Smart, the better. 27 minutes when he plays under 30 minutes, fewer three-point shots. He only took 1 three-point shot tonight, which means only missed 1 three-point shot tonight. And then Olynyk, what's wrong with Kelly Olynyk? Get out of here, Kelly Olynyk.
Nick has just taken over the end of the show. He's going to do the rest himself. We'll see you later, everybody. Nick's going to just talk for the next 10 minutes. Here he goes. No, Nick, I'm just kidding, man. You did just hit every single player, basically, that we talked about tonight, though. And it amazes me that you could pull that off in just a few minutes span, because you got it all, man. It's flow of consciousness and the shameless plug that I'm always willing to let happen on these shows. I give them out myself.
Thank you for the opportunity.
No problem, man. We love you around here. Always doing work for us. Nick Sesento, everybody. There he goes. Ranting off into the sunset. Bobby, you got any shameless plugs, man? I feel bad. You haven't done anything yet.
Well, if I'm going to throw something out there, I had an outstanding interview that dropped today with Jared Karabas on my podcast, the Bobcast, for all you Red Sox fans out there. So that's what I'm going to really start throwing around later today. So everyone's doing their shameless plug. I might as well do mine, too. One of the best interviews I've ever done. It was really fun.
Fair enough. And now for the plugs that aren't so shameless, because they are important to us. You can go get this post-game show on demand by searching for the CLNS Radio post-game Boston Celtics post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher, and check out our CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. You can get all the shows there as well. Don't forget to follow us on social media at CLNS Radio on Twitter, like us on Facebook.com/CLNSFans, and check out ESPNRadioNH.com to go and see the website of our friends at ESPN New Hampshire, and they are on Twitter at ESPNNH as well. And, of course, Facebook.com/ESPN New Hampshire. Tonight's show was brought to you by Blue Apron. Go to blueapron.com/CLNX to get 3 free meals and free shipping. And our friends at Movement Watches gave you the call lines tonight, mvmtwatches.com/CelticsBeat. We'll get you 15% off your first purchase, and that's free shipping as well. We love free around here. audiblepodcast.com/trynow will get you a free 30-day trial of audiobooks from Audible, and our music tonight was provided by Joshua Morse. Thanks to everybody who called in. We had a lot of callers in that last segment, and to everyone who's listening out there over the airwaves, we love you all. Thank you. For CLNS Radio Executive Producer Larry H. Russell, Program Director Justin Poulin, the founder of the network, Mr. Nick Gelso, my co-host Bobby Manning, I'm Matt Rury. Thank you all, everyone. We'll see you back here on Tuesday night when the Celtics head to Memphis to take on the Grizzlies. And hopefully they get a win there, because we need the Celtics to get on a roll. Have a good
night,
everyone.
One.
It's a tough one.
Peace.